It's The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm David Hyde. U.S. is still the world's richest country, but according to a big story that was in the New York Times last week, the U.S. middle class is no longer the world's richest. Canada is one of the countries where the middle class is now doing better than down here in the United States. So we're wondering if they're popping the champagne up in British Columbia, and Vaughn Palmer is here to tell us about it. He writes for the Vancouver Sun and joins us every week with news from Canada. Hi, Vaughn.
Hi, David.
So how much are Canadians gloating this week?
Well, the story, certainly, the New York Times story did get a lot of attention. And I mean, I recommend people have a look at it because these things are always complicated and the numbers are debatable, but it's fairly a substantive piece. The first person to give it a lot of reaction in Canada was one of our cabinet ministers in our national government saying, see, we're doing fine. Of course, the political issue here in Canada is the opposition parties are saying the government has eroded the position of the middle class, that Canadians are not as well off as they used to be, and they're more heavily taxed, and the economy isn't growing. All the stuff that you hear from opposition parties. So our government is saying, actually, we're doing better than we have in the past, and we've pulled slightly ahead of the Americans. So that's the political spin up here. I think, you know, the one thing I would say is that certainly some Canadians don't feel particularly well off, and they don't feel like they've made big gains. I think it's partly a reflection of a couple of things. One, the American economy got hit harder than the Canadian economy in the 2008 recession. So I think that's well documented. That's true. You did not end up with a large number of Canadians with their mortgages underwater in Canada. We didn't have the mortgage crisis that they did in the United States. So those two things were factors. Having said that, it differs, you know, right across the country. The province of Ontario is not doing as well as it used to. Some other Canadian provinces are doing a little better. Canadians would point out that, well, they may be making a bit more, but they're also paying higher taxes than Americans. Of course, that depends on your brackets as well. And another big difference between the two countries, and it's very hard to compare this, is Americans now get a chunk, some Americans anyway, now get a chunk of their income in the form of health benefits, perhaps through their employer, or they've taken a raise in the form of increased health coverage rather than a paycheck raise. Canadians, of course, most provinces, British Columbia is the exception, don't even pay health care premiums. Mm. The system is provided by the government. So, you know, I think it depends on where you sit on this one. Yeah. I would say a lot of Canadians don't feel especially well off.
Well, and Vaughn, there's also a new report out about the number of homeless in Vancouver. Yeah. This is kind of the flip side of the story, that number more than tripling since 2011. What's the talk about the big jump?
Well, a big problem for the mayor of Vancouver, Gregor Robertson. This is election year in Vancouver. He's running for re-election for a third term this fall. And he got elected in 2008. One of his big promises was to eliminate homelessness. Of course, as you say with the stats, it's gone the other way. We're tripled. So that's not great numbers for Mayor Robertson. He's blaming senior governments for not building enough housing, for not providing enough assistance. But it's a bit of a political embarrassment for the mayor. In fairness, this is a one-day survey conducted by volunteers, so the numbers are going to vary. I was just recently in Portland, Oregon, and I know the experience there was that when they launched their fight against homelessness there, initially they made some progress, but it's leveled off, and I see the most recent survey in Portland was the homeless count is up as well.
Mm. Another story up in Vancouver is you've got a transit referendum happening, and down in King County, of course, we have voters here just shot down one for transit roads. No advice for you, but what's on the table? What's the proposal?
Well, I was reading a Seattle Times coverage on this. I have been down in the States for a couple of weeks, and that's why you had Les Lane doing the show with you the last couple of weeks, and I noticed the Times story that ran before the vote in Seattle pointed out that in Vancouver Vancouver, British Columbia, they already raise more money from the fare box than they do in Seattle, and I noticed the numbers. They do raise more from property taxes than they do in Seattle as well. Now, we don't have the sales tax, so that's where the difference is. So I was surprised, actually, because in the past, I know Seattle Metro residents have voted to provide more support for the transit system. I guess they decided they were taxed enough.
Well, there's another Seattle-only transit measure that might be coming to the ballot this fall, so that could
be a good story. Yeah, it passed in the city but was defeated in the suburbs. This is a big problem in Vancouver because we are getting ready for a vote next year. We don't know exactly what we'll be voting on yet for regional transit, but that's the same problem in Vancouver. People in the suburbs just don't see the transit services being good enough for them, so they aren't as supportive as people in the central city who get some of the benefits. The other problem is we're not used to referendums here. We don't have as many of them. In the past, the transit system has been expanded by senior governments. They've just gone ahead and built it, like our SkyTrain system, and they haven't asked anybody for approval in a referendum. So this is a very iffy proposition. They're hoping to get the local elections out of the way this fall before they present people with a question, but not just because of how things went in Seattle, but I got my doubts as to whether or not the thing can pass.
All right, Vaughn, and I got about a minute left, but you were just down on vacation here in Washington, Oregon, and you noticed some interesting headlines about oil traffic.
Yes, I was really struck by the oil port proposal for Vancouver, Washington. I know that it's not a go for sure, but just struck me that, you know, Americans are bringing oil from Dakotas through to the West Coast and shipping it to refineries. They're using rail cars. It's a big issue in Canada, of course, rail cars, but here's the one thing that jumped out at me, which is if you're going to move oil and it's going to find its way to world markets, both countries could use a little recognition that pipelines, whatever you think of them, are safer than rail cars, and maybe we should be cooperating a little more on pipelines and a little less leaving it to the railways to carry it, because as you know, that oil from North Dakota is the one that killed all those people when the train exploded in Quebec last year.
Yeah. How was the vacation, by the way?
A fabulous time. Miro Show in Seattle, Powell's Bookstore in Portland, the Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon, and a few days on the coast of Oregon. God, we live in a wonderful part of the world.
Don't we? Thank you so much, Vaughn.
Bye-bye, David.
Vaughn Palmer joins us every week to talk about news from Canada. He's a columnist for the Vancouver Sun. You're listening to The Record on KUOW with Marcy Silman. I'm David Hyde.